Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to I Love Movies with Doug Benson. I'm your host, Doug Benson. And I love movies. That was the theme song by Hard and Firm. And we're coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles in front of a live audience. Yay! They do lots of great shows here at UCB, so go to ucbtheater.com for more details. But don't do it now. Enjoy this show first. I always like to open with a remark that's movie-related, and I'm not going to name the specific movie that I'm talking about because, you know, I might ruin part of the movie for someone who hasn't seen it yet. So let's just say the title rhymes with The Defarted. And all I want to say is if I were an undercover mole in a dangerous situation, I'd put my cell phone on vibrate. It's just something I would do. I would figure that out on my own, that a loud cell phone when you're skirmying around in between some packages in a warehouse people might notice you if you get a call. And that's my opening thing. My guest today, thank you very much. You guys are awesome. My guest today on I Love Movies played my favorite point in a love triangle with Joey and Chandler on Friends, played my favorite wife of Huff on Huff, and could soon be seen as my favorite mind on Criminal Minds. In fact, she just started appearing on that show this season. Please, everybody, give a warm welcome to Padgett Brewster. Hey, Padgett.
Hey, Doug.
Thanks for dressing up for all the listeners.
I only dress up for listeners.
Yeah, well.
Not for the viewers.
The live audience.
Can't get it out
so
of
good.
The thing.
I know, it's kind of...
I'm a girl.
Wow.
Oh.
But you're gonna
God,
have to,
that FBI training is paying off.
Yeah, you shouldn't say I'm a girl when you're, you know, just starting work on a shoot 'em up with Mandy Patinkin. That's pretty. Must be fun to be on a set with Mandy Patinkin and have a firearm.
It
on
is,
your
yeah,
person.
It's a lot.
What kind of gun
fun.
Does your character carry?
A Glock, a 40 caliber 9mm Glock.
I don't know what that means. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk film. Padgett Brewster, what have you seen lately? Have you seen anything lately? That's a no. You're busy. You're busy making entertainment.
Yes, I've been. I've seen a lot of television. Unfortunately, the last movie that I saw in the theater was War of the Worlds.
It's going to sound like you're setting me up, but I have something I'd like to say about that.
Okay. It wasn't my fault.
I even said it on a previous podcast, but I don't give a shit. I didn't care for that movie because that movie, the message was too heavy for me. Did you get the message of War of the Worlds? Don't have kids. Because they will slow your ass down if you need to run from an alien invasion. It's my little joke about a movie that's couple summers old.
It is, I know.
It's been that long since you've gone out to a theater.
Gone to a movie theater, yeah. Because what I do is I get Netflix. I have the five in the queue.
Five. Holy crap.
Thank you. I feel good about it.
I don't think I could handle five. I think that'd be too much for me to deal with.
Are you a three? I'm a three banger.
I'm a three. And I had one for over a year before I finally said, I'm not going to watch this, and I sent it back. So now I'm back in the three cycle, and it's exciting.
I have Kiss Kiss Bang Bang that I haven't watched in a long time. Is it good?
It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It should be called Bang Bang Wink Wink, because the whole movie is kind of like, nah, it's not, you know, like the narrator knows it's a movie, that kind of thing. You know, like there's like jokes that are jokes about how it's a movie.
Oh, dear.
But... Oh, don't panic.
No, I'm not really a fan of
There's some
of
good
it.
Ones. You don't like that in general,
I don't,
though.
No, I don't.
You don't like fourth wall busters?
Only here. At,
you're not going to do a lot of that in Criminal Minds? Mandy just breaks into a song and you do a little dance?
And I'd like the audience to see at that. Home.
Is there any... what was the most recent Netflix movie that you watched?
See, I'm useless.
Take your time. We've got about a half hour. Name any movie that you may have. It doesn't have to be the absolute most recent one.
Or truthful?
Yeah, you can.
LA Confidential.
You could lie.
I saw LA Confidential.
You finally got around to that one? You're like, I'll check that out. Or have you been doing research and watching crime stuff?
Noir? Yeah, no, I honestly, I don't remember the last thing I saw.
Oh, okay.
But I own True Romance. That counts for something, doesn't it? I own some movies.
You kidding
movies.
Me? Watching James Gandolfini get smashed in the head with the top of a toilet is one of the best moments
ever.
And
he gets stabbed with a little Godzilla knife, the corkscrew. She sticks in his foot, and then it's great. She's great.
They lost
in that.
Me at the toilet thing.
Oh.
I stopped. That was too violent for me. But I drive by that
Floyd.
Hotel.
Floyd, yeah.
Yeah, there's that hotel.
The Safari Inn. Right on,
it's
on Olive.
Olive in the valley. So every time I drive by, whoever's in the car, I don't care if it's Tarantino in the car with me, I point out that that's from the movie. That's the hotel from True Romance. I was driving with Christian Slater one. No. So you're totally unaware of like movies that are on the horizon? Like, is there anything that you're looking forward to seeing that you've heard is coming out soon?
Well, name something and let me see if I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Babel.
Don't know anything about it.
That's Brad Pitt and several other actors in another depressing wallow.
Then it doesn't sound
from
like
the guy who did 21 Grams.
No.
I mean,
no.
I'm not saying the director did 21 Grams. There's a movie that he made called 21 Grams. And that movie's getting a lot. People are excited about it. Because it's, you know, just another depressing, like, several characters and their stories sort of intertwine.
Like Altman-esque?
No, more like the guy that made 21 Grams.
All right, is there another
What's his name? Inarritu or something like that? I don't know what his name
Inamorata?
Is.
Inamorata?
What about, do you know, have you heard about Fur?
Oh, I think I may have. Wait, what happens in that?
I bet you it's about Diane Arbus.
Yeah, the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Nicole Kidman beat you out for that part.
That whore. The parts she gets away from me, that skinny...
I know. It's ridiculous.
She's playing Diane Arbus.
You stole Huff away from her, though. You've always
she
got that.
She auditioned, then they went, boo.
She did a thumbs down for those of you listening. Boo and thumbs down. That is harshly critical.
Oh, they hated her.
They could do one or the other. They hit her with both. Boo, thumbs down. But yeah, so you're very much into photography, and I assume
her work. I took some of the pictures back there. Yes, she did a Haunting Americana, I think is the boiled down expression.
Oh, great. Now I can skip the movie.
Wait, is that your description of fur?
Fur. I mean, I love the title, so I'm in. Any movie that's just three letters, I'm all over it.
Can you name another movie with three
letters?
I'm
trying to think of another one right now. Have they ever made Hat into a movie? Now, here's an easier question for you. You'll probably just say True Romance again. But what are some of your favorite movies of all time? Do you have some of those?
Brazil, Blade Runner,
excellent.
Fountainhead.
Let me ask you back up. On the first two, director's cut or studio cut?
Director's cut.
Because Brazil and Blade Runner.
Brazil had two director cuts.
Yeah, well, they both have 17 cuts. And they have a new special edition. A new Brazil DVD just came out. Like, didn't you think you'd seen it all?
Yeah,
and
there's a new one. There's a fourth. I liked Gilliam's, both of Gilliam. I didn't like the studio. But then that movie was held hostage for a year, wasn't it? And
Terry Gilliam
for a long time. Took out a full-page ad in Variety or something. And
saying,
said,
if you don't release this movie, I will make a lot of shitty movies for the rest of my career. And he is really stuck to that. He's really... I was watching Roper and whoever's filling in for Ebert, and this new one he made, Tideland. Have you even heard of it?
No.
Like, when a movie shows up on Roper and Ebert, and I've never heard of it, I'm shocked. And I was watching it recently, and Tideland stars Jeff Bridges, reunited with Gilliam after their work together in The Fisher King.
Yes, The Fisher King.
And it was... just mercilessly slammed. They went boo and thumbs down.
Wow.
Both, all their thumbs. So it's not going great for him, at least according to those two guys.
No. Did you see Lost in La Mancha?
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I think there should be a movie of Terry Gilliam making every movie, and I'll see that instead of the movie he made.
Yeah, he could do that.
That'd be
he's really good on commentaries.
Yeah, he is.
Because he tells the truth, which is sometimes kind of brutal.
Yeah, and he's smart and funny.
I like him. He's great on commentaries.
Yeah, so thumbs up to him.
Yeah.
Thumbs down to some of his work. True. I didn't even see that Brothers Grimm thing that he did.
Oh, you can't. Well, don't even. I tried twice. I Netflixed
Netflix
it twice.
Netflix won't even send it to you?
I get a good 20 minutes in and I'm out.
Oh, I see. I thought
I
you were saying.
I go start making paella.
It'd be interesting. You know how Netflix recommends stuff. It'd be fun if you asked for something and Netflix went, not for you. Not your cup of tea at all. We've been tracking you and you're not going to like it. Let's save ourselves a lot of trouble.
I think you're right. I think that would be a great feature.
No, their recommendations are always so like, you know, it's just some actor was also in something else. You know, I don't want to see every Eric Stoltz movie just because I like The Fly 2. Oh, the things that come into my head. So your third one was The Fountainhead?
Yeah, the 1949 King Vidor.
Mm-hmm.
There was only
one cut of that.
Yes, correct. But it was Ayn Rand wrote the teleplay.
Right.
She wrote the script.
Yeah.
For that, and it's, you know, it's a dogmatic book. It's a great book, Fountainhead. Mm-hmm. But hilarious movie. Beautifully shot. And then it just punches you in the face over and over and over again with its, you know, man versus the masses message.
Well, gee, guess what's rocketing to the top of my Netflix queue?
You'll like it.
All right. We'll do another episode of the show.
And, yeah.
Where you'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Okay, good.
Because that's one of those classics that I've never seen.
It's really good. Can I do one line from it? Because it's...
Sure.
Patricia Neal and Gary Cooper, and at one point the guy who's not Gary Cooper,
I said I haven't heard of either of them.
At one point the guy who's not Gary Cooper proposes to Patricia Neal, and her line to him is this, and it's and I've used it: if I ever feel the need to punish myself for some unforgivable sin, I'll marry you. It is awesome. It's so brutal.
I thought that was Katharine Hepburn.
Well, they all sounded.
They
roughly
all
the,
sounded that way that
she
time,
would
didn't they?
Have said it
yes,
like this.
Cigarette cocktail. Well, fantastic. Let's. That was an awesome segment. Really proud of it. Let's move on. I'm so retarded. I have to keep my my cell phone as my watch.
Are
now.
You texting? So people?
I'm texting some folks. You should see this pair on this one. No, I've been checking the time on my phone because we run a tight ship here at I Love Movies with Doug Benson.
But my rack does look good.
It's really. I was gonna say.
I like it. It's a new bra.
Yeah, it's a great bra.
Thanks.
I mean, I doubt I would want to see it just on its own. I like its work with you. I don't, you know, the solo stuff, I'm not that into it. It's kind of boring after a while. Once I've jerked off, I don't need to look at it anymore. It's like porn. In addition to tons of TV roles and cartoon voiceovers, you were in the movie Let's Talk About Sex.
Oh,
baby.
But let's not talk about that movie.
You and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things.
That may be.
That may be. Now, shut up. No questions from the audience. No, Julia Roberts' movie was Something to Talk About, which was also based on a song. So, interesting coincidence.
Oh, that was. She was in that.
She was in that with Dennis Quaid and
Mary
some other
Kevin
lady.
Mary Bacon, Kyra,
yeah,
Kyra
Kira
Sedgwick.
Sedgwick. Kira Sedgwick. Kira. I got a great Kira Sedgwick story. Do you want to hear it?
Do it. Give
it's
it.
Not really that good.
Do it.
When I first lived in Hollywood, she lived in the same building as me.
Ooh.
And I had a roommate, and one time she came over to borrow something, and she knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and, you know, she was a nice enough lady or whatever. So I went to give her whatever she wanted. But she had a puppy with her, a little dog, new dog, and it immediately ran into my roommate's room and took a shit on the floor. So for my every time I see Kira Sedgwick in anything, I think of her puppy shitting on my roommate's floor. And how funny it is when a roommate, when you don't have dogs and your roommate comes home and there's shit on the floor. It's just a funny moment, you know? Because I didn't clean it up. So yeah, so that was a movie you'd rather forget about. Let's Talk About Sex.
Yeah, that was my first movie.
Yeah.
And we shot it in Florida.
It was kind of pseudo...
It's horrible.
It was kind of like documentary style almost or something.
Yeah,
or,
you know, it was that...
A lot of man on the street interviews,
yeah,
intercut
yeah,
with your
like
acting.
Three chicks and we're going to make a...
One was
an
black.
...interview show, yeah. And one had enormous jugs.
Uh-huh.
And long hair.
And you're perfect.
And I was like the hard ass.
Oh, no.
And we were trying to make a TV show, and it's so bad. It's so bad.
I think
but
I
here's
saw
the thing.
It.
The thing that happened behind the scenes that was so interesting was the father of the producer, who was 60-something, survivor from Bergen-Belsen, started dating Madonna's current girlfriend. So Madonna tried to shut down production all
her
over town.
Her current girlfriend, Guy Ritchie?
No. That, oh, sorry.
Current,
not current.
At the time.
At the time, she had a lady.
You know, Madonna's having. At the time we're recording this, she's having trouble getting an African baby.
Well, that's because it's a shitty move what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to get African babies.
The baby's
babies
not an
too.
Orphan. It's got a dad and a grandmother.
I tried to smuggle an African baby back from Africa, and they found it because I put it in my shampoo bottle. So. All right, let's check the time. We're doing good on time.
Here we go.
Yeah, doing great. So let me ask you this. You played Binky, which I already love that the character's name is Binky.
Binky Beauregard.
Binky Beauregard, really?
Binky Beauregard.
In Man of the House.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that was your voice?
Yeah, I was a cheerleading coach for the Texas Longhorns. She was all real jumpy.
Yeah.
And high strung.
Well, it sounds like it was fun part to play.
It was.
How
and
was
it was
Tommy Lee Jones.
How he's
was he?
Really intimidating.
Yeah, did you get
and
lost
he,
in his face?
Yeah, in a quagmire.
Yeah, yeah. Did you try to rock climb his face? He doesn't like that. He'll swat you away and go, "Stop it, girl," or whatever. I can't do his voice, but.
But he was nice to me. I don't know why. And but he scared the bejesus out of everybody. And he would take the script and say, "God damn, these are all TV writers. Don't know how to write a movie." And he'd throw the script on the ground and then get down on his hands and knees with a pen. "We're going to rewrite this shit right now. Page it. What would you say? How would you say it?" And I'm looking at the writers, and it was my first day. I'm shaking head to toe. I guess I would invert. You know, I'd say Texas in the second part of the... That's a goddamn... That's writing. And then it was terrifying, but he was kind of charming and hilarious at the same time.
He treated Harrison Ford the same way on The Fugitive. Now, would you jump into that ravine? Or... now, you've got two movies in the can, which means they're finished, not that they take place in bathrooms.
Oh, wait.
I think. Can you even remember them? I should have wrote them down.
It's actually four.
Four?
Yeah, I have a really bad Lifetime movie coming up.
Okay, but that doesn't count.
What?
That's for TV.
Oh, okay. Then I only have two.
Theatricals, you have two.
Sorry, you're right. Movie theatrical. One is called Unaccompanied Minors with a bunch of kids get stuck in an airport. Lewis Black is in it, though, and Rob Corddry.
Oh, is that one of those Larry Clark movies?
No, it's a... No, it's Paul Feig from Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared.
Oh, he directed it?
He directed it,
and wrote
yeah.
it, too?
Golly, did he write it?
All right, you don't have to say.
No. And then another one is this psychological thriller called... either Sublime or Hospital with TV's Tom Cavanaugh.
They should call it Sublime Hospital.
That would be good.
Yeah, because they never are.
It's never
nobody's ever gone, this hospital is sublime. You know, that's weird. Unless the Sublime song is playing in the corridors, then they might say it.
Oh wait, oh, the guy who plays the bad guy in that is Washington from Welcome Back, Kotter. And he's really, really scary and creepy,
oh,
I swear
Boom
to God.
Boom Boom Washington? What's
yeah.
his name?
I can't remember his name.
It's three names. Jacobs, Lawrence, Hilton, Jacobs.
Is that... That's not
that's
right.
What we're
Someone
go with.
Knows. Lawrence Hilton, Jacob, Lawrence Hilton? What?
Lawrence Hilton, Jacobs.
I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm sorry.
He had three names. I know that much.
I apologize for
questioning. He's no Ron Palillo, but that'd be interesting.
I don't know who
Ron Palillo is the villain? Rorschach?
Oh, Horseshack.
You brought up Kotter. Did you say that because this guy, all he would talk about on the set was that he used to be Washington? So
no.
That's how you knew that?
No. Everyone else said that, but I wasn't allowed to watch Welcome Back, Kotter growing up, so I don't know.
You weren't allowed to?
Not specifically Welcome Back, Kotter. I wasn't allowed to watch any TV growing up.
All right. That's probably a good thing.
Well, I've sought the ultimate revenge upon my parents.
By being in it?
Yes.
So their other kids can't watch Criminal Minds?
I'm sure there are children who can't watch Criminal Minds. They
yeah,
shouldn't.
Most of them.
It's dirty. It's rough. It's rough stuff.
On your IMDb page, under trivia...
Oh, no. What?
It's got your name, where you're born, where you're from, all that stuff.
Yeah, I can't...
Might not be accurate. But then it says trivia.
Yeah.
And this is the trivia about you.
What?
Friend of John Cryer.
He is a friend.
But why is that trivia? That's
so
weird. Like, what actor isn't friends with other actors like that?
And like, that's a big deal.
Is that the trivia? Is your only friend in this town is John Cryer?
He's my only friend.
He's the only one?
I don't know. Honestly, that showed up after I went with him to the Emmys. And we are friends, and they took our picture, and then I was in Star Magazine as a, you know, people were saying it looked like a date, and it looked like we were going to get hot and heavy, and I was just excited to be in a tabloid, so
I'm excited to know someone who's a friend of John Cryer. Can't believe I'm this close to you.
You should have John here. So he's funny.
All right. Let's set it up.
Yeah,
let's make it happen.
He's great.
I can't wait to ask him about hiding out.
Oh, you should ask him about Superman 3.
Superman 3 with Richard Pryor or no, he was in 2.
I don't know. I didn't see it. Was it 4?
4.
Someone
quest,
in the dark.
Quest for something.
But John was in it. And he was so excited that he was Lex Luthor's son.
Oh.
Mini
Lex.
I can't remember.
And
but
it
yeah,
didn't
he
go
was
well. Nobody,
no.
It wasn't well received.
No. And he knew, I think a couple days into shooting, he was like, oh.
It was like...
I don't think this is going to be the Superman I thought it would be.
Cryer's whole oeuvre, but don't you think he said, oh, a couple of days into most of his... projects?
I do not.
Oh.
I don't. I don't. What's that one with Demi Moore where he takes her picture and he puts it on all the cabs? I loved that movie. What was that movie?
Oh, yeah.
And he had mono the whole time he made that movie.
That was called St. Elmo's Fire.
No, it was a... Come on. Oh, no.
No.
Somebody,
now they're guessing movies that John Cryer isn't even in.
Come on.
I started a bad trend.
Was he?
John Cryer was not in About Last Night.
I thought it was Rob Lowe and Demi Moore.
I'm in About Last Night. I'm not kidding you. I'm in it. There's a scene where it's like a New Year's Eve party. I was an extra in it. But there's a scene where there's a New Year's Eve party, and Demi Moore and Rob Lowe have an argument, and they storm out one after the other. One leaves, and then the other one leaves. So I get like brushed up against by both of them, and this tremendous like, why are people running into me acting going on?
Shut up! Are you serious?
And it was just
really
because I got in their fucking way, you know. Like, I was like, well, I'll be in this scene because they'll hit me as they leave, you know. And they did, and it worked.
Oh my god! Yeah, that's so worth seeing.
Yeah, it's really good. Check it out. I was an extra in a lot of movies, and that's the only one where every once in a while I'll get a phone call or an email saying, "Are you in About Last Night?"
Oh wow!
And because I'm right center screen, and Ed Zwick, great director, held on my take for a second after they breezed through. Like it doesn't go by as quickly as it should.
That's like the background dream.
Yeah.
The extra player dream.
I did a similar thing in Glory. Matthew Broderick and Denzel
up.
Washington.
That's, you're making all of this up.
There's both no- scrape me with their bayonets. Okay, so as listeners of the show, as listeners of the show know, of which there are apparently two or three of them, I've gotten comments. One of the comments on the podcast, on one of the podcasts, said, "Not a fan." Was their entire comment of me, of my guest, of movies, but or of Leonard Maltin, because that's what we do at the end of the show each week, is we play the Leonard Maltin game. It was invented by Brian Posehn and I, and I tried to walk you through it backstage because you weren't familiar with it. And basically, you go ahead and pick out a movie. Try to make it in the 90s or the 2000s. And basically what Padgett is going to do is try to stump me by telling me the year the movie came out, and then listing off the cast names from the bottom up, and I'll try to stop her when I think I know it, and hopefully I will know it. It's a very suspenseful game.
1972.
Ooh, that's not the 90s or the 2000s, but let's do this. It's a pretty famous movie from 72?
Yes, very. Actually.
Okay, very good. Oh, we'll see if I know
it.
Yeah,
I bet you'll get it at 3.
Okay.
Ellen Geer.
That's the last name?
Last name.
All right. So far, I don't know. All I know is that she was on The Waltons. And that's not a movie.
Charles Tyner.
I think I know who that is, but that doesn't help.
Cyril Cusack.
That's supposed to be the giveaway name? You said I'd get it in 3?
Now you're going to get it.
Okay. One more.
Vivian Pickles. Come on!
Vivian Pickles is in it. I believe she plays the mom on Friends, right?
I don't know.
You were on it.
Who's mom? The only one who was there when I was there was Terry Garr.
Oh, right. Because she's the Geller mom, I think.
Vivian Pickles is... Come on.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong on that one.
Here it goes.
Keep going.
Ruth Gordon.
Oh, wait, is there only like one name left, or is there a couple more?
There's one name left.
Only one name left?
Yeah.
Is it George Segal?
No.
Oh, it's...
You can do it.
I know it. Oh, I can't think of his name now. Bud Cort.
Yep.
Harold Maud.
Nice!
Well, once we got to Ruth Gordon, you're right. That narrowed it down quite a bit. And you didn't say a monkey, so if it was Ruth Gordon and a monkey, I'd know it's every which way of something. All right, let me do one for you. Do we have time? Let's check the time. This is very professional. Yeah, we got three minutes.
I'm probably not going to get it, whatever it is.
All right.
But
well,
I'm
what if I tell you the title first?
And then I'll
then
guess
maybe
the
you'll
year.
Get it. I want to pick something especially for you.
Okay.
But we don't have that kind of time. So.
This is going to be good.
I'm going to pick something.
Should I watch the phone to see what time it is?
No, we're good. The show can go over a couple minutes.
Okay.
It's just if someone only has a half an hour to listen to it, it'll be like a cliffhanger if they stop. Okay, here's a fun one.
Okay.
Bill Murray.
Whoa, what year? That's the key.
1986.
Razor's Edge.
Excellent guess, but Bill Murray wouldn't have been the last name.
Oh, I thought you were in. Oh, it's the last name.
Yeah,
1970,
so,
what?
So we're talking cameo here.
1976?
86.
86?
Mm-hmm. I can give you another name if you want.
Yes, please.
Christopher Guest. That makes it hard, I think.
He's like a...
John Candy.
Well,
it's making it very confusing. Yeah, I thought this one would be
no,
fun,
no, no,
but
it's
confusing.
Really rough. It's
Jim Belushi, listed here as James. He was in a very serious phase, apparently.
And these are all
Now you might start to get it now. Okay. You might start to come around. Steve Martin.
So
we got Bill Murray, Christopher Guest, John Candy, Jim Belushi, Steve Martin, Vincent Gardenia. It's only two names left.
Is it? Oh, but Steve Martin's not this.
Ellen Green? Yeah.
That was one of the stars
and she,
of this movie.
In fact, she wore the same dress you're wearing right now. To almost as good an effect.
This bra wasn't invented.
And she talked like this. And she wanted to live somewhere that's green.
Was it All in the Family, the movie? What? I don't know what you're
doing. The name that should give it away, I would hope, is Rick Moranis.
Is it the...
Was the star...
But I only remember
of a musical
from, with
a puppet plant that ate people.
Oh, it's called, Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes. You're
oh,
great at
that
this.
Chick. Yeah, see, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Ellen Green.
With the long nose.
Yeah, I thought she was very cute in that.
She is cute, yeah.
Then, you know, a few years later, she got murdered in the very first scene of The Professional with Natalie Portman and that French guy.
That's an almost perfect movie.
What parts are wrong with it?
Jean Reno.
Yeah, Jean Reno.
The dress-up part where they dress up in costumes and it's all cute.
Yeah.
The assassin and the nine-year-old, that's gross.
Yeah, it's a little gross.
The rest of that movie's flawless.
Paget Brewster, everybody. Let's hear it for her.
Oh, thanks for having me.
almost wrapping this thing up perfectly on time. If you haven't already gone to... you're already at Handheld Comedy, but if you haven't signed up for the Laugh Bank... That's our version of a frequent flyer program, but you don't really get anywhere. But but check that out. And until next time, this is Doug Benson saying, spoiler alert.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.